فينا وسيئات أعمالنا، وأشهد إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His abundant mercy. He has made it possible for us to meet again today to continue the reading of the book Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Yes, the last week we read the first hadith, the hadith of intention, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa, that the actions of men are considered acceptable or otherwise based on the intentions, and that everyone shall have the reward of what he intended. So we mentioned this hadith and some of the benefits that are contained in it, and it was established, as Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said, that this is from the Jawami' al-Kalim of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that Allah has blessed him with few speech, many meanings. Allah blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to make simple statements but containing tremendous benefits. And from that is what we read throughout last week, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Because we could see that it applies to everything a Muslim does that is an act of worship. Everything he does. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The hadith applies to it. Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah had told us in his muqaddimah that he intends to bring a number, a set of hadith, that each of them, like he said alayhi rahmatullah, that wafi kulli hadithin minha, that in every hadith that he is going to bring to us alayhi rahmatullah in this arba'un, in each of them qa'idatun azimatun min qawa'idat deen, that there are great foundations from the foundations of deen are contained in each of the hadith. So that our action, salah, is accepted or rejected, is contained in the first hadith. That zakah is accepted or rejected, is contained in the first hadith. That hajj is accepted or rejected, is contained in the first hadith. That nikah is rewarded, is contained in the first hadith. That eating and drinking is rewarded or thrown away, is contained in the first hadith. Everything a Muslim does is contained in the first hadith, in terms of it being accepted and rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah, we'll look at the second hadith, which is also another qa'ida from the qawa'id of Islam. And in fact, it takes all of Islam, because at its end, the Rasul said alayhi salatu wasalam, while he talked about the man who visited him, he said, فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He said, so Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he has come to you to teach you your deen. So it means we want to read a hadith wherein we have all of Islam, all of everything called Islam that he brought alayhi salatu wasalam is summarized in this second hadith. So that makes us understand the importance of the hadith. So that hadith, like the first one, was also reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, أبو حفص أمير المؤمنين, and the first person to be called as such. So this hadith was also reported by him. So we'll quickly read through the hadith and begin to read it and bring some quiet to the evening last. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله said عن عمر بن الخطاب أيضا in some نسخ and in fact many of them there is no ابن الخطاب but it is established that he wrote in one of the texts from one of those who took it from him I mean إمام النووي ابن الخطاب is included but from many of the texts there is no ابن الخطاب but in some of the نسخ there is ابن الخطاب So عن عمر بن الخطاب أيضا رضي الله عنه قال بينما نحن جلوس also جلوس is not contained in some text but it is established that he wrote that عليه رحمة الله because it is in some of the manuscripts of the أربعون of الإمام النووي that he said جلوس he wrote جلوس so some omitted it but it is confirmed Even when the riwayah of Al-Imam Muslim itself in Sahih Muslim does not contain julusun, but there are other riwayat, because the hadith is not only reported by Al-Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah. Other scholars of hadith have reported it, like Al-Imam Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i, Imam Al-Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Bayhaqi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They all reported this hadith. But none of them has reported it in this manner that Imam Muslim reported the hadith. So that was why the Imam took or selected or chose the riwayah of Al-Imam Muslim alayhi rahmatullah. But in his riwayah there is no julusun in it. Like we said, there is no Ibn Khattab in other nusakh. So بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ذات يوم اطلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى نبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالية عالة رعاء الشاع يتطاولون في البنيان قال ثم انطلق فلبست مليا ثم قال لي يا عمر أتدري من السائل قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم رواه مسلم This is the hadith الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله had also told us in the Muqaddimah that he is going to be mentioning these ahadith to us mahzufat al-asanid he will be mentioning them to us having removed the chains of narration we remember that he mentioned that in his Muqaddimah so the chain of narration is out of date But there are some benefits in the next chain of narration from those who reported the hadith from Umar ibn al-Khattab and from those who reported the hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar, because this hadith was reported from Abdullah ibn Umar. And al-Imam Muslim, if we return to Sahih Muslim, I think hadith 15 or hadith 8, Imma 8 or 18, but it's in Sahih Muslim, the first part, Kitab al-Iman. Rather, the first hadith in Sahih Muslim. It is not talking about the first hadith in the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, because there is a difference between the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim and Sahih Muslim. So this hadith is from the first narration in Kitab al-Iman in Sahih Muslim. We will take the hadith from the Tabi'i who reported from Abdullah ibn Umar. We said this report of Umar ibn al-Khattab, yes, he heard it, he witnessed it, but it was not his report. It was reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, his son. He was the one who reported the hadith from his father. How? Two men came from Iraq. I'm talking about ancient Iraq, which combines the present-day Iraq and Iran. So two men came from Iraq. One of them was Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ya'mar, is a Tabi'i alayhi rahmatullah, and is reported to be one of the greatest scholars of Nahi. He was very learned in Arabiya, but he was resident in Basra. So himself and another Tabi'i, they came to Hajj. So we read what he said. Because we would wonder why was Umar radiallahu anhu, he started saying baynama nahnu julusun, what brought about all this? If we read this, what we are going to mention now bi idhnillah, which is in the report of Imam Muslim himself, but which Imam Nawawi has not mentioned because of what he has stipulated in this book, which is that he will not mention things related to the chains of narration. So he brought the hadith from Umar radiallahu anhu, which will not also make us know the hadith was actually reported by his son Abdullah ibn Umar to those who heard from him, and he had heard from his father Umar ibn al-Khattab. Do we understand? So it will need that we go back a little bit to the period of the Tabi'un, that is the students of the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who reported the hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar. So al-Imam Yahya ibn Ya'mar said alayhi rahmatullah, he is Tabi'i, he said كان أول من قال في القدر بالبصرة معبد الجهني. He said the first person who spoke about al-qadr, the first person من تكلم بنفي القدر, the first person who spoke rejecting qadr, rejecting that mankind is not acting on any qadr and all of his affairs is in his hands. Allah has not made any qadr. Even when Allah said, "Inna khalaqna kulla shay'in biqadarin," we have created everything with its qadar. In another place he says, "Wa khalaqa kulla shay'in faqaddarahu taqdira." Allah said, he created everything, faqaddarahu, and he gave them limits. He placed limits upon everything that he has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some of the Muslims, I'm sure we mentioned some of these while we read Usul al-Sunnah. So some of the Muslims at the tail end of the period of the companions, they denied that there is qadr. So the leader, the first person who spoke about that there is no qadr, was Ma'bad al-Juhani. So they reject qadr. They reject qadr in all its levels. So that's why they are referred to as al-Qadariya. Even when they reject the name, and they say that it is those who believe in qadr that should be referred to as Al-Qadariya, the ulama refute them, like Al-Imam Al-Khattabi alayhi rahmatullah, that they are the ones who should be referred to as Qadariya. Because the Muslims, Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they refer Qadar to Allah, that Allah is the one who has the Qadar of everything in his hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not claim that Qadar is with us, but they claim that Qadar is with them. They have the qadr over everything. They are the ones who control everything, and there is no qadr. So the one who lays claim to something has a greater right to be labeled with what he claims he owns. Do we understand? The scholars of Sunnah do not claim ownership of Qadar. They say Qadar belongs to Allah. So those who say Qadar belongs to them, they are the ones who are rightfully referred to as Qadariyah. And that's why they are referred to as Al-Qadariyah. So in their denial of Qadariyah, there are some of them, the early ones amongst them, these ones who were met by these Al-Imam Yahya Ya'mar alayhi rahmatullah, Ibn Ya'mar alayhi rahmatullah. They are from the earliest parts of them, because there are some of them who deny Qadar in its entirety, and there are some of them who deny Qadar partially. So, but these people are from those who deny Qadar in its entirety. So it would mean they deny all the four levels of Qadar. They deny the ilm of Allah. We know the first level of Qadar is that Allah has knowledge of everything. He says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures everything with his knowledge. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they deny that. And that's why they would say, like the Shia say, that whatever happens does not happen because Allah knew that it would happen. They are happening while Allah, a'udhu billah, did not know that they would happen. So Allah only knew them as we know them, because we know them when after, only after they happen. They say that is when Allah knows them to a'udhu billah. So they deny the fact that Allah knows everything, which is affirmed in the Quran, that from the attributes of Allah is the ilm of Allah, and his ilm is not new, is not an ilm that was preceded with jahl. The knowledge of Allah was not the knowledge that was preceded with jahl, but their statement indicated that Allah's knowledge was the knowledge that he gained after a time that he had been ignorant of Allah. So they deny the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also deny the lahul mahfuz, because the lahul is the maktub. So when Allah says يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَإِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابُ, they deny the kitab, because they deny maktub. وَالْكِتَابُ الْمَكْتُوبُ. So they deny the book, they deny lahu al-mahfuz, and this is affirmed in many narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course in many verses of the Quran. It is بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. And all these, so they deny also this. They also deny the Mashi'a of Allah, Allah's will, the two forms that Allah wishes and he wills, irada. Ulama use the two words interchangeably, the Mashi'a of Allah and the irada of Allah. The Mashi'a of Allah is what Allah wishes, and the same with his irada, what he wills. So we remember we have two forms of that. We have iradatullah al-kawniyah and iradatullah al-shar'iyah. What Allah wants in existence, he wants those things to be in existence. And what he wants vis-a-vis ruling, like he does not want zina. He wants somebody to keep away from zina. He does not want zina. He likes iman. He does not want kufr. He says, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Is not pleased with kufr or the kafir. So these are what Allah wants. Even when from his mashi'a al-kawniyah, he has permitted kufr to exist, but he does not want that. He says, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. He does not want mankind to be kuffar. So they deny the mashi'a of Allah, what Allah wills. He wants it to be in existence. They rather attributed that to some other thing. Anyway, that has to do with the good two of them who have partial denial. Those people say that the good things come from Allah, but the evil things come from other than Allah. So not that everything comes from Allah. But we have explained this in detail. Everything comes from Allah. That's why we still come back to it. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. So we believe in it all, khair and shar of Qadr. So they deny the third thing, the Mashi'a of Allah. And they also deny the fact that everything is created by Allah. Allah said, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. Allah says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah is the creator of everything. So they deny the fact that Allah created everything. Everything you see and you do not see, Allah created it. Good and bad. Good and bad. Everything you see, Allah created it. It is only bad for those ones we consider bad, because we relatively think that it is bad because of our little knowledge. But everything that comes from Allah is good. Nothing evil comes from Allah. But we consider those things bad because of the limited knowledge that we have. So it means we can say good or bad as far as we are concerned. But as far as Allah is concerned, Allah has placed everything with his hikmah, and there is no evil in what Allah does. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we gave so many examples regarding things like this when we discussed further. So these people denied everything. They deny Allah's knowledge. They deny the fact that Allah wrote what is in his knowledge. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the first thing Allah created was the pen, and Allah commanded his write. He says, what will I write? Allah says, write all that shall happen from now until when there will be no creation. And he wrote, and that's what we have in Lawl Mahfuz. So they deny this kitabah. They also deny the mashi'ah of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah wills everything that is in existence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also deny the creation of Allah, that is, that it is Allah that created everything. This is the implication of denying Qadar. So they have denied so many things, part of rububiyyah of Allah, part of uluhiyyah of Allah, part of asma Allah and his sifat. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was what Ma'bad al-Juhani was upon while these two people saw him and met him. He says, فَانْتَلَقْتُ أَنَا وَحُمَيْدِ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ الْحِمْيَرِ الْإِمَامِ يَحْيَى إِبْنُ يَعْمَرِ. He said, so myself and Imam Humayd ibn عبد الرحمن الحميري, so the both of them, he is also Basri, Nazil Basra. Himself and Yahya ibn Ya'mar said, they left Hajjain or Mu'tamirain. They left for Hajj or Umrah. So they heard all these things Ma'bad al-Juhani was saying. So when they went for Hajj or they went for Umrah, فَقُلْنَا, the both of them said, one said to the other, لَوْ لَكِينَا أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَا وَسَأَلْنَاهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُ هَؤُلَاءِ فِي الْقَدَرِ. So he was saying, one of them said to the other, that لَوْ لَكِينَا أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَا. Perhaps, I wish we meet any one of the companions of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. You know why they are doing that? Because they understood that usuluddin indahum at-tamassuk bima kana alayhi ashabu rasulillah. The foundations of the deen, anything in the deen, go back to the companions and ask what was their position on it. You will know the correct thing. Anything in Islam, just find out what were the companions upon. So these people understood this. That was why the companions took joy in the fact that they were the companions of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. If not for that, there will be little benefit in the statement of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari when he said, kunna na'zil wal Qur'an yanzil. We were making azl while the Qur'an was being revealed. Meaning, don't tell me not to make azl. Don't criticize me for making azl. Don't say I'm making something that is haram. We did it at a time better than now. You know why? Well, Quran yanzil. The Quran was being revealed at the time. If it were wrong, the Quran would have said it, don't do it. Or the Prophet would have told us from the revelation he received from Allah, tell them to stop it. We would have stopped it. So the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the furqan. They are the criterion to know what is right of Islam and what is wrong of Islam. And that is why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah at the beginning of Usul al-Sunnah, he said, Usul al-Sunnah indana tamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu rasul. So if you say Usul al-Sunnah, the foundations of Islam is Iman billah wa malaikati wa kutubi, this is Qadar now, and the people are denying Qadar. If they had believed in the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepted from them, those who Allah said regarding them that they believed, كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Do we understand? So they are the criterion. So that was why they were saying, لو لقينا احدا من اصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وسلم وسالناه عما يقول هؤلاء في القدر. So that we can ask him, we can ask any one of them. How I wish we meet any one of the companions. So that we can ask him, this Qadr, this is what they are saying. What, explain to us what it was that you received from the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, فَوُفِّقَ لَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرِ. He said, we were granted success by Allah to meet Abdullah ibn Umar. So as far as they are concerned, it was success. Ah, nice. We have somebody to clear our doubts. We have somebody to clear and refute those people. We have somebody to give us explanations that will increase our iman. He said, فَوُفِّقَ لَنَا عَبْدُلَّهِ ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ibn al-Khattab. So we were lucky. We were giving success to Allah to meet Abdullah ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ دَاخِلَ الْمَسْجِدِ. He was entering the masjid. It is supposedly Masjid al-Haram. So we're lucky we met him while he was coming into the masjid. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. So Imam Yahya ibn Ya'mar continued. He said, فَاكْتَنَفْتُهُ أَنَا وَصَاحِبِي أَحَدُنَا عَلَى يَمِينِهِ وَالْآخَرُ عَلَى شِمَالِهِ. He said, فَاكْتَنَفْتُهُ. So we went in his direction. We're going. As he was going, we went with him. أَنَا وَصَاحِبِي. Myself and my companion. Who was who? Al-Imam Humayd Al-Himyari. Alayhi rahmatullah. So we walked as he walked. One of us stood on his right and the other stood on his left. He said, فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّ صَاحِبِي سَيَكِلُ الْكَلَامَ إِلَيَّ. I was thinking that my companion, Al-Imam Humayd, will allow me to give the speech. Ulama say because Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ya'mar was more bold. He was more bold than Imam Humayd. He was bolder. He was clearer in his speech. Such that when he started to ask, it would be clear. He was a bold person. You know, because sometimes when you meet learned people, you are encapsulated by their personality such that you can't even ask them questions. You forget all the questions. So he said, I knew you would lead me to answer. You would lead me to ask the companion, alayhi rahmatullah, this question. And this is not wrong. It is just from recognition of the benefits, the traits, the favors of Allah on each person. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So that is the favor of Allah on Al-Imam Yahya. Alayhi rahmatullah. He said, فَقُلْتُ. So when he knew that, I know that my brother will be waiting for me to talk. He said, فَقُلْتُ. So I said, يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ. This is the kunya of Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar was Abu Abdul Rahman. You know, we said that it is difficult to find a companion without a kunya. It is difficult. To find a companion, no kunya, no abu, anything, is difficult. So they called him by his kunya. They say, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, innahu qad zahara kitalana nasun. O Abu Abdurrahman, some people have come around us where we live. Yaqra'un al-Qur'an. They read the Qur'an. Wa yataqaffaroon al-ilma. And the flow of knowledge, they are reading the Quran, and they are reading everything they see. They read, they find out, they are asking, they are verifying, they are proving, they are doing everything. Yatafakkarun. In other riwayat, they say yatatabba'un. They are following up knowledge. Everything, mention it, usul, they are finding it out. Arabiya, they are studying. This was their condition. Subhanallah. It was describing the Qadariyah. Ikhwan, this means that for someone to be serious about searching knowledge, but not searching it from its right source, does not mean that he is right. Because despite this, they are from the Qadariyah, they deny Qadar. He says again, وَيَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. They are from the best of reciters. And when he described the Khawarij, what did he say? عليه الصلاة والسلام. He described them with recitation of the Quran. And yet he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَيَمْرُكُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ. He said, they go away from the religion the way the arrow goes out of the bow. So that someone reads Quran, don't be deceived. Someone reads Quran, someone makes tulul qiyamul layl, while he's standing as if he's sick. He can hardly shake you. He can all these. It does not mean that he's a power searching. What will determine piety is Quran and Hadith. What does Allah say? What does Quran say? What does Sunnah say? What does the Prophet say? Alayhi salatu wa salam. That is a determinant. One day, an Imam Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith in Kitab al-Iman wal-Nuzr. That is a book of oath and swearing. But one day he started eating chicken. Dajaja, chicken. And some of the people came in front of him, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And they were asking, oh, you, companion of the Prophet, you are eating chicken. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the Prophet used to eat chicken. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet used to eat chicken. So if you think, the meaning is that if you think that it is not part of piety to eat chicken, you are not more pious than the Prophet Muhammad. So the Prophet was eating chicken. So no, it's not piety. If you say you will not eat chicken, it is not piety because the Prophet is more pious than you are. So some of the people deny themselves of benefits that Allah has not denied them. And the Prophet made benefits. Some people, they will not sleep through the night. The Prophet used to sleep sometimes. He used to wake up in the night. So don't say I will not eat chicken. Eat chicken. Enjoy, keep benefits. Make benefits from what Allah has given you. He says, "Ibtajima ataka Allahu dar al-akhirah." He says, "Wala tansa nasibaka min ad-dunya." What you do is when you eat and enjoy these things, intend by them. Don't forget, "Wa inna ma li kulli imrin ma nawa." So you intend, make your intention be that when you eat these things, you want to get strong so that you can be stronger in jihad, so that you can be stronger to make ibadah, so that you can be stronger, so that you have the reward of what you intend. But even when somebody does not intend that, the only thing is that he will not get the kind of reward the person who intended got. But at the same time, it is not a thing. It is not wrong for somebody to make benefit of those things. To make benefit of whatever Allah has given you of wealth or of anything. If you are not going to make use of it, if you are going to leave it, let it be for another reason. Let it not be because you think that you are taking piety by so doing. So when they asked him, radiallahu anhu, why are you eating chicken? He said, if somebody better than me used to eat chicken, better than you used to eat chicken. So what do you want to say? So piety is known by the Quran and Hadith. It's not known by the fact that when somebody preaches, he cries. No! That is not the index of piety. What is he preaching? It is not known by the fact that somebody cannot even walk on the street because he's pious. It does not mean that. Who told him that that is a way of teaching piety? It is very, very important. The person who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib, Muljam, when he was nailed, because he was crucified, and parts of his body was removed one after the other. When his eyes were plucked out, he did not cry. He did not make a sound. All he was saying, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah. His tongue was vibrating with adhkar. So at the time his tongue was cut off, he shouted. He said, we removed your eyes, you did not shout. We cut off your ears, you did not shout. We removed your nostrils, you did not shout. Now that we are cutting your tongue, why are you shouting? He said, because you are cutting off what by which I am making zikr and remembering Allah. After he killed Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companion, Ali ibn Abi Talib, after declaring Ali a kafir, because he did not kill Ali radiallahu anhu. They killed Ali because they considered him to be what? A kafir. And Allah has told us that no one will consider the companions kafir except a kafir. And he's making la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. What is the benefit of that? There is no benefit in it. There is no benefit in it. So don't be deceived by show of piety that is not piety. Piety is what, that's why he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqu allaha wa haqqa tuqatih. Taqu allaha haqqa tuqatih. Fear Allah as he ought to be feared. As he ought in the right manner. So the fact that these people were making efforts to learn, reading Quran, and yet they were denying Qadar. Does their reading and learning vilify, does it eschew them from blame? It does not. So that's why when the blame for people who have blame, they have extremism regarding their deen, it's mentioned. Don't say, but he also is pious. He's also doing this. Because that aspect of piety that you mentioned, it does not vouchsafe him. It does not prove that what he is doing is evil, is right. It's evil, it is evil, and is right regarding that about which he is right. So they were describing these people who were the followers of Ma'bad al-Juhani to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So they were describing them, that plan. So they said, وَذَكَرَ مِنْ شَأْنِهِمْ. Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ya'mar was mentioning, describing these people. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّ لَا قَدَرَ. They are also claiming that there is no qadar. وَأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ أُنْفٌ. And that mankind is free of any kind of takdeer. So when Allah says, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, amongst which is human beings, they say, no, mankind, they are unuf. They are free. They do what they like. There is no qadar there. If a man sleeps and does not wake up tomorrow, it is not qadar. He is the one who does not wake up. Allah answer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has treated everything with its qadar. He said, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said to them, فَإِذَا لَكِيتَ هَؤُلَىٰ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ بُرَآءٌ مِّنِّي. If you meet those people, tell them that فَإِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Tell them I don't have anything to do with them. وَهُمْ بُرَآءٌ مِّنِّي. And they don't have anything to do with me. They are on their own. I'm on my own. So وَالَّذِي يَحْلِفُ بِهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Umar. I swear by the one about whom I swear. I swear by the one with whom I swear. I swear by the one, you remember that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was corrected by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about swearing. And he's the one who reported the hadith about swearing much. That man yahlif, fal yahlif billahi, awil yasmut, was reported by Abdullah ibn Umar. Because he said in that hadith, from that day I never swore except by Allah. Do you understand? So when he's saying here that I swear by the one that I swear with, and he had told us in the hadith of swearing, since the day the Prophet told us never to swear by anything except by Allah, I never swore by anything except by Allah. What he's saying is that I swear by Allah, after whom I do not swear by any other thing. Radiallahu anhuma. He said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحَدِهِمْ مِثْلَ أُخْدٍ ذَعْبًا. If any one of those people who deny Qadr have the like of Mount Uhud as gold, فَأَنْفَقَهُ, and then he spends it, he gives it out in charity, مَا قَبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ, Allah will not accept it from him. You know why? Because he's denying Qadr. He's denying Iman. He's denying aspects of Iman. He's denying the Rububiyyah of Allah. Because some of the ulama classify the Qadr of Allah as always Rububiyyah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he spends Mount Uhud, the like of Mount Uhud, in gold, he gives it out in charity, Allah will not accept it from him. Hatta yu'mina bil qadar, until he believes that there is predestination. Summa qala, then Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhu, haddathani adi. What he said, he wants to evidence it. Abdullah ibn Umar wants to give evidence that those people are upon misguidance. Then he said, Haddathani Abi, my father narrated to me, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Do we understand now? This is where the hadith comes from. My father, Umar ibn al-Khattab, while he was talking to Yahya ibn Ya'mar and al-Imam Sumayd al-Himyari, he said, Haddathani Abi. So my father narrated to me. When he said Haddathani Abi, and then he said Abdullah ibn Umar, he was not referring, he's not calling his father by name. Because it is not right for a child to call his father by name. So that was why he said Abi. But he made Badal so that to make bayan that we should understand that the Abi he's talking about is not his grandfather. Because it is not wrong for a man to refer to his grandfather as Abi. Do we understand? It's not wrong. The grandfather of a man can be referred to by that man as Abi, even when he is Abu Abin Lahu. Do we understand? So to make us understand, which of your Abba are you talking to? Then he said, Omar. It is not that he is calling his father by name. Al-Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah in Adab al-Mufrad has brought the hadith also from Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Abdurrahman radiyallahu anhuma, that he used to call his father Abu Habs. Abu Habs. He mentioned that Imam Bukhari brought it under the bab of the fact that it is not right for a man to call his father by his name. If it's Yusuf, don't say Yusuf for referring to your father. So when he said Haddathani Abi Umar ibn al-Khattab, he's saying my father. Which one is the father? To make you understand that it is this so and so father is mentioned. Because he had actually referred to him as what? Abi. And that suffices. So Bayan, he brought Umar ibn al-Khattab. Radiallahu anhu. Qala. Who said? And then the hadith came. Bainama nahnu julusun inda Rasulillah. Then Umar radiallahu anhu started to say that one day we were seated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam zata yawmin. So one day we were seated with the Prophet. Ulama say this was the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the companions. They regularly sat with him. Sometimes they will ask him questions. Sometimes something comes to his mind, he wants to tell them about it. Sometimes he will even ask them about their own affairs. Such that he may even ask, who amongst you dreamt today and what did he dream about? And someone speaks about what he dreamt of and he begins to explain alayhi salatu wasalam. He could even ask other questions. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly sat with the companions radiallahu anhu, and he taught them about Islam, explaining things to them radiallahu anhu. So while they were in this position, he qala alayna rajulun. A man approached them. A man came to them. While they were listening to the Prophet talking to them, a man just came. This man, Shadidu Bayab Siyab, his clothes were so glaringly bright. His clothes was white, was clean. Shadidu Sawad Shaf, his hair were thick black. The black was intense. He says, La yu'a alayhi atharu safar. The traits, the symbols of having traveled, Ash'af Akbar, being disheveled and covered with dust. You know, then they traveled in the desert. And as the beast of burden shakes, they are shaking too. So they raised a lot of dust that settles upon them. So even the beards carry dust, the heads carry dust, and they are looking very dusty. But he was not looking like that. And he was saying all this because the person who came upon them, if it were one of them who was living in Medina, he would say so and so came. He doesn't know him. La yura alayhi atharu safar was making us understand that we can't say that the man had traveled. But it's not a man that we also know, else there is no case to mention traveling. They don't know him. And he's not looking like somebody who had traveled long distances. But he's looking clean. His clothes were white. In the riwayah of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i alayhi rahmatullah, it was saying that He was smelling the best of perfumes. He was looking clean. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel alayhi salam. We will know at the end of the hadith. So he said, لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. No one knows him amongst us who, as we said to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, they said, حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So he was coming like that until he went ahead and sat to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكُبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكُبَتَيْهِ. So he placed his knees as he sat. He placed his knees to the knees of the Prophet Muhammad. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. And then he placed his two hands, his palms, on his lap. Here some of the ulama say, فَخِذَيْهِ meant his own lap. But Al-Imam Al-Haytami alayhi rahmatullah said that he placed his hands on the laps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is affirmed by a riwayah in Sunan al-Nasa'i, that Jibreel alayhi salam placed his hands on the laps of the Prophet, not his. And the riwayah is authentic. So he placed his hands on the laps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say he did that because of the closeness with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we'll see that from this period on, he started to ask the Prophet questions. And at the end of it, the Prophet said, يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He came to teach you your religion. أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. So ulama say it meant that even the way he came, the way he was appearing, the way he sat and the way he was talking, they were of benefit and they are from the issues of the deen. And the fact that he was asking questions is evidence that he came as a student to learn. And all those attributes he was showing, the way he was looking and all those, are from the attributes someone who is going to learn about Islam should keep. Those are the etiquette issues imbibe. Someone going to learn must not be looking dirty. It is common people think that if somebody is learning Islam, he should be looking dirty. Look at how his clothes were described. Shadidu bayad al-thiyab. The clothes was extremely white. Shadidu sawad al-sha'r. His hair, mashallah, nice. Like we said, the Imam al-Nasa'i reported in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, because it was not only Umar that reported it, Abu Hurairah reported it, Abu Dharr also reported it, radiallahu anhu, that he was wearing a nice perfume. If you go to learn, dress like this, wear nice clothes, put perfume, look nice, comb your hair, be prepared in your mind that you want to make benefits from where you are going. So, but if someone does the other way around, then you'll be losing a lot. He goes to classes dirty. Even the teacher does not have the zeal to continue to explain, because the student is even oozing smells. So this is common. You find it. People do it. So when we go to learn, these are the attributes. And then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, حَتَّى جَلَسَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ سَلَّىٰ سَلَّىٰ. Until he sat in front of the Prophet. فَسْنَدَ رُكْبَةِ. He was so close to the Prophet. So when it is the place of learning, don't go and sit far away from a place where you can even hardly hear the person talking. Don't go and sit away from the people. Sit close to the people. Sit close to the people. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when people are seated scattered, it is from the works of shaitan. The Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam. It says, inna tafarruqakum hadha min amali shaitan. And that's why the companions say, whenever they are with the Prophet, everybody seated close, close. close. And that's why you see, if the people are seated scattered, someone stretches his leg, the other one rests his neck, the other one rests his shoulder, and then they start sleeping. So when you ask, what did I just say? I say, hey, what did you say? But when the people are seated such that the one who even wants to stretch his feet will only manage to do so, the one who wants to rest his head will only manage to do so, it will not encourage them to sleep. So Shaitan will not come and blow some breeze in their ears and they start sleeping and dozing, and then they forget what the person explaining says. So he went to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibril went to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasnada rukwatayhi ila rukwatayhi. He was sitting facing the Prophet Muhammad, not wanting any of the ankars to meet him. Wawaba kafayhi ala fakhidayhi. So close, just placed his hands on top of him. In fact, as he spoke, the ansar of the Rasul will be touching him. You know ansar, nafas, the air that comes out of the mouth as a person speaks. To be touching the breed at least. He says, Umar radiallahu anhu says in this report, وَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ. He said, oh Muhammad, this will be surprising to the companions, because they are not used to referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Muhammad. Those who did that were the Bedouins, village people, desert people, Arabs, unrefined, coarse people. They are those who, when they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say Muhammad. But the companions, when they refer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say Ya Rasulallah, Ya Nabi Allah. These are the kind of way they refer to the Prophet Muhammad. So ulama say, so why did Jibril say that, Ya Muhammad? He said, he wants to make the companions still continue to feel that, where has this man come from? He said, to declare to them that we don't, he's one of us in this city, he will not call him Muhammad. He will not say that. So they were still surprised at that. Why did he do that? So he did that to still make the people feel that where has this man, actually where has he come from? He's not from amongst them. He's not from them. He came from the heavens. Alayhi salam. I mean Jibreel alayhi salam. So he said, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni anil Islam. Tell me about Islam. Tell me mal Islam. Tell me what is Islam. Tell me what is Islam. Tell me about it. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam that Umar faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, the Messenger of Allah said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, al-islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah. That Islam is that one testifies, don't forget what shahada is. Shahada is what? At-tasdiqu بالقلب وماذا والنطق باللسان. So that is shahada. We affirm with our hearts and we speak with our tongue. So what we affirm is what we speak. It is when someone speaks what he does not affirm, then we say that is nifaq, hypocrisy. Or when he affirms what he does not speak, it also has problems. If it is iman that he affirms and does not speak iman, some of the scholars will even say it is from acts of kufr, not to speak iman, not to make shahada. That's why when someone wants to accept Islam, from what he begins to say is what? Ashhadu Allah. He affirms it with his mouth. What he had confirmed also with his heart, what he has attested, he affirms it with his tongue. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Islam is to do that, that Allah ilaha illallah, that there is no one that is worthy. La ma'buda bihaqqin illa Allah. There is no one who has the right to be worshipped except Allah. We'll still be talking about it, about Islam in the next hadith. Also the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. So we'll not make much of elaboration while talking about mal Islam. Akhbirni anil Islam. Do we understand? Because we'll still be coming across this hadith about Islam. The next hadith we'll read inshallah. So we just make a paraphrasal and go ahead, inshallah. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam that al-islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah. Islam is that one testifies that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger. And that from Islam also is wa tuqima salah, is that you establish the salah. We will explain that inshallah in the next hadith. Wa tu'tiya zakah, that you give the zakah, the alms, the poor charity, obligatory. You give it out. Wa tasuma Ramadan, and then you fast in the month of Ramadan, or you fast the fasting of Ramadan. Wa tahujja al-bayta in istata'ta ilayhi sabila, and that you visit the house in on pilgrimage. You visit Allah's house. You go to Mecca on pilgrimage. In istata'ta ilayhi sabila, if you are able to do so, if you have the means to do so, the means to take care of yourself, the means to take care of the people at home that you keep, that is the means. And then you are strong enough. But those people who don't have the strength, they still have the financial ability, they should give it to someone to perform the Hajj for them. It is obligatory upon them. Anyone who has the means to go for Hajj but is not physically strong to be able to do so, he must give the money to someone else to perform the Hajj for him. This is the most correct opinion regarding the matter. The Ibn Allah will come back to it by the time we are talking about the next hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Qala, Jibreel said alayhi salatu wasalam, Sadaqta, you are correct, you have said the truth. Umar said radiallahu anhu, Fa'ajibna lahu, we were surprised for this man. We were surprised in his case. Yas'aluhu wa yusaddiquhu. He is the one asking and is the one confirming the answer. What kind of a man is this? Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said li'anna hadha, he said this is like that because li'anna hadha khilafu adata as-sa'il al-jahil. He said because this is khilafu ada, this is different from the what is common with as-sa'il al-jahil. Someone who is asking, he doesn't know something, he's asking. Well, is he the one to be saying, you are correct? So, and that's why when you ask somebody a question and he's responding, don't say, all right, good, correct, sahih. People used to do it. This is wrong. Except if the person asking knows it as the person that he is asking. Because Jibreel knows this thing as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why the Prophet told him alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he asked, he said, Akhbirni an as-sa'a. What did he say? He said, Mal mas'ul anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. So Jibreel knows it too, except in such cases. But even when the person being asked, if he thinks that the person asking does not know, because the Prophet knew that Jibreel knows. But if the person does not know, the person you are asking does not know that you asking knows, don't say that too. Don't say that too, because the basic rule about asking someone a question is that you are asking because you don't know. So he's thinking that, let me explain. But as he explains, he fancy saying sahih. Mashallah, come on. You are indicating to him that you already know, or some level of arrogance. So that was why the companions were surprised. فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. We are surprised. What kind of a man is this? He's asking Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not about how to farm, not about how to fish, about deen. Because the Anbiya are the most learned of human beings about deen. At every point in time that you have a Nabi, that Nabi is the most learned of them. Ulama say that was why when Allah asked Nabi Musa alayhi salam, who is the most learned, he said me. Musa alayhi salam did not say that out of pride. He said that out of reality. Because at every point in time, the Nabi of that time or the Rasul of that time is the most learned amongst the people. So when Allah asked Musa alayhi salam, who is most, he said, I. He's not being proud. He's saying reality because his Lord asked him a question. And since he's the Nabi, he said, okay, let me show you someone else who is more knowledgeable than you. That's why ulama also say it meant that Khidr was a Nabi of Allah. Because he was on earth at the time of a Nabi and was more knowledgeable than a Nabi. And no one would be more knowledgeable about deen than a Nabi or as a Nabi, except that he is also a Nabi. So Khidr is not a Wali, he's more than a Wali. Do we understand? So these are adab that we should take when we discuss with people as far as the deen is concerned. If you are a carpenter and you are asking him about carpentry, then when he is answering, he's saying that sahih, tawan, and all those things people say. But when you are asking him about deen and you know he has a better knowledge of the deen than you are, don't say that. Don't affirm, except you are asking him what he knows that you know, but for the benefit of others. But when he does not know that you know, then the case is different, as we have explained. So Umar said, radiallahu anhu, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. قَالَ, then Jibril said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. Okay, now tell me about Iman. Tell me about faith, Iman. Ulama say, let's quickly mention that here, that when Iman and Islam are mentioned together in the same hadith, they mean something different. But when only Iman is mentioned, it includes Islam. But also, when only Islam is mentioned, it includes Iman. But when the both of them are mentioned together, they mean different things. Do we understand? Islam would mean in that case the testification, the tongue, and the belief of the heart. You know, the heart is also a limb. So Islam in that case will be talking about the actions of the limb. The first one, the Iman, Shahada, with the limb, which is what? The heart in this case. Do we understand? Iqamatu Salah, with the hand, the tongue, the eyes, because the eyes also include, they have roles when in Salah. The eyes should not go to anywhere they like. Imam al-Nasa'i has reported the hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about someone who strayed his eyes. I says, وَذَاكَ مِنْ اِخْتِلَاسِ الشَّيْطَانِ يَخْتَلِسُهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِ أَحَدِكُمْ. The light from the stealing of shaitan, he steals it from the prayers of each of you, looking sideways like this. So the eyes also has a place in salah. Where should it be? Only two times, two places. One, on the spot where we will prostrate. And this is the general. The only time the eye goes out of the place where we will prostrate is when we are making tashahud. So as we are shaking our hands, make tahrikul usbu, we shake the finger, the sibaba, as we shake it like that, and shake it the more, the eye is looking at it. That is the only time the eye goes away from the place of sujood. Else, throughout the salah, the eye is on the place of sujood. Some people say the eyes should go in between the legs when we are in salah. There is no hadith that's authentic from the Prophet on that. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So the eyes only have two places in salah. The place where we prostrate, and this is for the most part of it, during salah. And the next place is where? Our finger that we point when we make the tashahud. Do we understand? So Islam discusses the actions of the limbs if it is in the same hadith with Iman. So when he said, أخبرني عن الإيمان, now tell me about those things that are not limb-based actions. Then he said, أن تؤمن بالله, that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you believe in the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe in the uluhiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his asma and sifat. We discussed a lot about this while we were talking about issues of Iman in Usul Sunnah. I hope we can remember some of these, inshallah. So, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته, also believe in his angels, one of whom is Jibril alayhi salam, believed by Jibreel alayhi salam. There is Malakul Maut. There is no Israel. There is no saying the angel of death is Israel. Is Azrael. They say Azrael or Israel or Asareel. These are names they call him. He does not have any name that is known in the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salam. Authentically. So it's Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut. So then there are those ones we know, Malik. The people of fire will cry, Ya Malik. Udu'u Rabbaka. What did he say in Zukhruf? The beginning of the verse. وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ, tell your Lord to kill us. The people of fire will wish to die. لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا, let him decide when we will die. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ, no, there is no death, you are going to be there. لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. The truth had come unto you, but you were deceitful. You found the truth deceitful. You abandoned the truth. You rejected it. You don't want it. Am yahtabuna, am abramu amran fa inna mubrimun. These are the malaika anyway. We believe in them. Those ones that the Quran and the Sunnah has told us about their names, we know them. Those ones that it has not mentioned their names, we leave it. So there are some of them, there are many of them, only Allah knows their number. Some of them are going around in circumambulation of Baytul Ma'mur. I think we spoke about this while we were discussing Usul Sunnah. So we believe in the angels. Wa kutubihi, and the books revealed. The ones he told us about. We know them. The six of them. He told us about them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rusulihi, and his messengers. We believe in all of them. Wa la nufarriq bayna ahadin minhum. And we are not going to segregate anyone for belief and the others for rejection. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, we also believe in the last day. We discussed all of these at length while we were talking about Usul Sunnah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and the matters related to Aqidah. وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ, also you must believe in the Qadr. We have mentioned the four levels of Qadr at the beginning. So it means this point, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. This is mahallu shahid. This is a point of reference. You know why? Because that was what they came to ask about from Abdullah ibn Umar. So it was because وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ was the reason why he was quoting the hadith. So it is mahallu shahid, the point of reference in the hadith. So we must believe in Qadr, khairihi, the good of it, wa sharrihi, and the evil of it. And Allah is the one who designs and destines all of it. He preordains all. Because like we said, those who came later amongst the Qadariyah, their belief is a little bit different from the first people. The first people say complete denial of Qadr. Those who came later amongst them were segregating that. The good things about Qadr is from Allah. And those things that are bad about Qadr is from the God of darkness, Allah. Because they believe that the world is of two, light and darkness. Because they pick that from the Zoroastrian. And that was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to them as Majusul Ummah. Said Al-Qadariyya, Majusul Ummah. They are the Magians, fire worshippers in this Ummah. You know the Magians, the fire worshippers, Zoroastrians, they believe that there are two gods. We've mentioned this severally. They refer to one as Angrami and the other as what? Ahura Mazda. Ahura Mazda is the god of light in their view. And Angrami is the god of darkness. They believe that Ahura Mazda is superior to him. So Ahura Mazda brings about good. The other one brings about evil. So the later people among the Qadariyah believe that evil is not brought about by Allah, what they refer to as evil. You know, we explained that the evil itself may be evil with respect to we because of our limited knowledge. And the evil in itself may have an end that is good. Like someone who is stoned to death for zina. Being stoned to death, is it good? Being stoned. until he died. Is it good? But it has an evil end. What is it? It has a good end. You know the good end? That person will be forgiven the sin of dinner. So now, what do you refer to? What do you refer the stoning to? Will you see, call it evil? So it is not evil in its entirety. It is really, really good because it brings about good. It ends up in good. And there are some of the good that will only appear as evil because of the circumstance we are in. In the next 10, 15 minutes, it becomes clear as what? As something that is good. One of the scholars, Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen, if I remember properly, narrated the incidents of a man who was to travel by plane. So he was in the restroom until they were announcing flight. The flight took off. And he had been waiting for the flight for hours. So he started crying. Oh! As he was crying, he heard from the control tower that the plane was blown up. So what does this, is it good for him or evil? So khairihi wa sharihi, we believe it. For some of the people that they die, so they say, hey, it's evil that they die. Perhaps if he did not die, he would return to kufr. Do we understand? Someone was sick and was on bedridden for 2 weeks. Perhaps if he was not on the bed, he would be committing zina. Some people are blind. Perhaps if they were not blind, they would look at things and by that, that are not permissible. And by that, it will outweigh their mizan of khayr on the day of Qiyamah, and they will be from the people of hell. So that he does not have his eyes. Is it good or evil? And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, anyone that Allah takes his two beloved and his patient with, Allah will replace with Al-Jannah. Allah will replace it with Al-Jannah. So is it good or evil? So no, no, bil qadar. We believe in qadar. Khairihi wa sharihi. Good of it and what we consider as evil. Because all of what Allah does from his wisdom is good. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not only know that they are good because of limitations of one form or the other. So this is mahallu shahid in the hadith. Qala sadaqa. The teacher came again. So here, ulama say it meant that Jibril did not only come as a student. He also came as a teacher. He had two roles. As a student, to ask. And as a teacher, to confirm. To confirm. Yes, you are right. Yes, you are right. And there is benefit in that also, ikhwan. That you cannot really, 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 really attain knowledge without teacher. You must learn. Islam is learned. Islam is learned. It is not inherited. And it is not gotten by inspiration. Except from the Anbiya, of course. And you are not a Nabi. So we learn Islam. We learn Islam. So people can buy books and start reading. Oh, start reading and reading and reading to become a scholar. You must also be learning. Al-Imam Mushatibi alayhi rahmatullah in his book Al-Ihtisam, he says, Sarat al-Ulum fil kutub. The knowledge has returned into the books. Wa mafatihuha inda al-ulama. And its keys are with the scholars. Just like you can't become a medical doctor without attending a medical school. No matter the kind, even if it is Ogun Sunnah, as it is called, the prophetic message, you learn it. Or don't they learn it? Can someone just sit there in his house and start prescribing things for people, not having learned it? Except he wants to become a murderer. Or for himself, he is committing a suicide. So the deen is learned. Let's not forget this point, it is very important. So, Jibril expressed again his teacher status in the gathering and said, Sadaqta, you are right, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala fa'akhbirni anil Islam. So the Prophet said to him. So he said to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni anil Islam. Tell me Ihsan. Tell me about goodness, being good. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tarah. Ulama say this is one level, that Ihsan has two levels. The first level is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه, that you worship Allah with the consciousness that you are the one seeing Allah. Like this is Allah. You are conscious of that fact, that you see Allah as if you see Him, even when you really do not see Him. But we will see Him on the day of Qiyamah. Do you remember we mentioned that in Sunnah? We will see Allah, inshallah, twice. We will see Him on the place of accounting, and we will see it the evening line in Al-Jannah. May Allah count all of us from the appearance of Al-Jannah. So, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel alayhi salam, أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى, that someone worship Allah till he sees Allah. This is the first level of Ihsan, and it is the highest level of righteousness, because Ihsan is also the highest level of the deen. So if this is the first level of Ihsan, then it is the highest level in the deen. There is no doubt that this is the status of the Anbiya, the Siddiqun, some of the Shuhada رضي الله عنهم. فإن لم تكن ترى, this is the second level. So if you cannot be in the first level, that you worship Allah if you see Him, worship Him as if, well, I'm not seeing Him, but He is seeing me. So this level, what they involve in terms of the depth of khushu, the depth of Allah's consciousness, varies. Because the one who sees something knows its reality more than the one who is only expecting to be seen. Do we understand? The one who feels something, he fears Allah more, he knows Allah punishes, he realizes all this. This is the way he's worshipping Allah. His situation is more in-depth and more eminent than the status of the one who is not actually seen, but is acting upon the belief that, yes, he's looking at me. Do you understand? So this is the second level of Ihsan. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ, if you are not seeing Allah, if he is not seeing Allah, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. So that was what the... And then Jibreel said again, قَالَ صَدَقْتَ, you are right, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ السَّاعَةُ, tell me now, when is the time, the day of Qiyamah, when will it be? And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, مَا الْمَسْئُولُ أَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, the one who is being asked does not know it as the one who is asking. The one who is asking knows that the one who is being asked does not know it. The one who is asking knows that the one who is being asked does not know. Ulama say this is evidence that when any person is asked a question and he does not know, say you don't know. Don't be ashamed to say La Adri, I don't know. The ulama say that the pious predecessors, when they taught their students, they teach them how to say I don't know when they are asked. And that's why the ulama say anyone who likes to answer every question is a shaitan, is Iblis. Because in the end he will mislead the people. What he knows and what he does not know, he will say. And the people are misled thereby. So the Prophet said that to Jibreel, I don't know, and you know that I don't know. That's why he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, the knowledge of the time belongs to Allah. In a place, he says, أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا, I always put it away, even from myself. It is so hidden, nobody knows it. I know it, but I أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا, I always put it away, hide it even from myself. So the day of Qiyamah, nobody knows when it will come. The Prophet does not know, alayhi salam. So nobody should feel ashamed when he's asked and say, he does not know. Somebody came to ask Imam Malik some questions from North Africa to Medina. He asked him some questions, most of it say, I don't know. Say, a whole Malik does not know. Say, hey, announce, please go and announce to them that Anna Malik lied. Imam Malik does not know. Please, go announce that Malik doesn't know. So the Prophet did not know. So it meant that there are some things the Prophet knows, and there are some things that the Prophet does not know. And that from even ilmul ghaib, it is not all the ghaib that the Prophet knows. It is not all the ghaib. He knows only what he is told. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why does not mean says, I don't know. So Jibreel said, alayhi salam, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ أَمَارَاتِيَا. So tell me about its signs. What are the signs that by which we know the day of Qiyamah? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, أَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ. That you find hufat. وَأَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That a slave, تَلِدَ رَبَّتَهَا أَوْ رَبَّهَا أَوْ بَعْلَهَا. In riwayat. أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That a slave woman gives birth to her master. How? How can a slave woman give birth to her master? Ulama explain many ways. One of which is that a woman who is captured as a slave, the Muslims fight jihad. And we have slaves, not house help that people take today. Do we understand? Those house helps are not your slaves. They are not your slaves. Those who can cohabit with are your own slaves, aside to your wife. If you have a slave, you cohabit with her. And then she gives birth to a child. The first way ulama mentioned that child is in the status of the master. Do we understand? He will inherit the master. So if the father dies, so what the child will inherit is the mother's slave. So they said this will be much at the end of time. This is one way. Another way, a woman gives birth to a child, she's a slave woman. One way or the other. Perhaps she did zina or something. And the child was taken away from her. He became grown up and all this. She was told, and she was passing from one hand to the other, until she came back to be bought by the very person she had given birth to, not knowing that the person is her own son. They said, this will come on at the end of time. We understand. And talid al-amatu rabbataha, that a slave woman will give birth to her master, that she will give birth to somebody who will come back to become her master, as we have explained. Allahu a'lam. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa antara al-hufata, and that you will be seeing hufat, people, barefooted people, al-urat, naked people, barefooted, naked people, al-alatu, fuqara, poor peasants, barefooted, naked, poor peasants, people who are poor, ri'a al-shah, they are people who take care of heads of sheep. Poor people, naked people, they only tie, what do they tie? Skins of hide. They tie hide and skin on their body. Naked people. Most part of them are naked. They are poor people. They follow animals out. What will they be doing? Yatatawaluna fil bunyan. They will come to become the rich people building houses that are big and they compete with it. We know people today. Some of the richest people in Nigeria have come from tribes that are like this. In fact, I'm sure if you count 5 rich people in Nigeria, you count this man. And that is his tribe. Up to today, they are not wearing anything. If you count 5 rich people today, richest people today in Nigeria, you count this person. And his family, they are there. Hufat. Urat. Ala. Ri'a Shah. But some of the biggest houses in Nigeria, they belong to him. Yatatawaluna fil bunyan. A complete big building. This one, 20 story, I build 50 stories. That one, 15 story, I build 18. So they compete in that. It's from the science of the last hour. May Allah save us from the evil of the time. Qala Umar said, radiallahu anhu. Then the man went away. And I waited for some time. The riwayah of Imam Abu Dawud said it was 3 days. Umar said, so when Jibreel went away, in the riwayah of Abu Huraira, the Prophet told them, go and call the man. They weren't searching Jibreel had gone. Alayhi salam. But in this riwayah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was waiting. Who is this man who came? Summa qala li. Then the Prophet said to me, alayhi salatu wasalam, ya Umar, oh Umar, atadri man is sa'il, Do you know who the questioner was? Do you know who that man was asking me, who was asking me the question? He says, قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Before we go to that, ulama say this is evidence that if there is a teacher who teaches people benefits of knowledge, whenever he sees something that will benefit them, he should tell them. My brother, do you know so certain? Say no, this is the reason. Tell them, don't keep benefits away from people. That's why people learn from scholars today, quote and unquote, and they don't know so many things in the Muslim world. They don't know the great scholars of Hadith today, they don't know them. The great scholars of Nahu today, they don't know them. The great scholars of Usul today, they don't know them. And they are existing together. They have their own reading their books. This is the reason why there is no book we read the Ibnillah except that we tell us about the person who wrote the book. For many times we read books not knowing who wrote the book. Do we understand? And it is from the benefit. Because this is the man providing the knowledge. So Jibril came to teach them their religion. So they should know who the man is. People read Bulugh al-Maram today, they do not know who wrote Bulugh al-Maram. Why did Ibn Hajar write Bulugh al-Maram? Why did he compile the ahadith he wrote? Why did he name it Bulugh al-Maram? Ibn Hajar. Why did he name that book Bulugh al-Maram? Why did he name it Bulugh al-Maram? People read Bulugh al-Maram, they don't know all these things about Bulugh al-Maram. Because those who teach them are stingy or do not know it. They are either stingy or do not know it. And it is from what they should know, because these are the people who provide the knowledge, so the benefit. So we should know those people who provide the benefit. Do we understand? So, قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. He does not know. Quickly he says, I don't know. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, I don't know. Ulama have also mentioned from this hadith that it showed that Umar radiallahu anhu was a serious student with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that he did not forget the questions, neither did he also forget the answer. Do we understand? If he was not a serious student, just say one man came one day and asked some questions. He didn't even know what the question was saying. And he would just start talking. Do we understand? So it meant that Umar radiallahu anhu was a student who was attentive even when there was a discussion between his teacher that he knew, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the person who came as a stranger and became their teacher within the period. Who was that? Jibreel alayhi salam. Do we understand? He said, قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَىٰ. Allah and his messenger know. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ. It was Jibreel alayhi salam. أَتَاكُمْ. He had come unto you. يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. To teach you your deen. So ulama say, all of what is mentioned in this hadith encapsulate or make up our deen. Deen, Islam. So Islam, or Islam, our deen, comprises of what? Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Islam consists of Islam, that is the first level, Iman, the second level, Ihsan. And in Ihsan, there are two levels of Ihsan, as the hadith has indicated. And Imam Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah says, Rawahu Muslim. This hadith has been related by Imam Muslim from Umar ibn al-Khattab. Imam Muslim, the next hadith in Sahih Muslim is also from this hadith, but it is the riwayah of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So Imam Bukhari reported the hadith, Imam Bayhaqi, Imam al-Nasa'i, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ahmad bin Hamal, and others that we have mentioned, they also reported the hadith. Some of them from Umar bin al-Khattab, some of them from Ibn Umar, some of them from Abu Huraira, some of them from Abu Dharr al-Ansari, and others, radiyallahu anhum. So this is the second hadith from Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. The hadith is very lengthy, but we have just tried to give us some summary and inshallah some benefits from the hadith. It is possible that if we had some longer time or we wanted to break the day, perhaps we could have been making some other benefits. But it suffices that this will make some benefits inshallah. Some other time I'll be mentioning some other things from this hadith, even Allah from other things, I'll be making benefits from them. But what we have said, we ask Allah to make it benefit the speaker and those who have listened to him. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Please, we'll take only two questions today because the time is overspent. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Okay. If he keeps money in a bank or in a business group, that there is a business group that exists now in this our environment, that they collect money. If after some time, 1-2 months, you go back and collect your money, it becomes double. It is riba. It is riba. If they say if you come back, you collect profit or loss, there is no problem. It would mean they are using your money to trade and they will share you from the profit or they share you from the loss. But when they guarantee you profit, not only profit, stipulated profit, this is kind of riba. This is riba. Now, that if someone makes a business and does what? Like he bought something for 20 naira and he added 20 naira, I sold it for 40 naira. It's not riba. You can sell it for 100 naira. There's no price control in Islam. You sell what you want at the price that you want. If you like, buy it at 20 naira and sell it at 10 naira, that's your own. If you also want, buy it at 20 naira and sell it at 200 million naira, that's your own. Once the buyer is ready to buy it at that price, the factor. And you are not cheating him. You are not hiding any of the bad aspects. Of course, all other things being equal. Allahu Akbar. The last question. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Now, under the what? Mufrada. Ma man yahtaju ila ghayrihi fa huwa faqir lahu hajatun ila ma inda ghayrihi, that is, he needs what other person has. This is faqir, the one who is poor. Do you understand? From the mufradat, that is the vocabulary. Mufrad or mufradat, mufradat means vocabulary. So al-alaku, it means al-faqir. Hufat, you understand, it means the person who is not wearing anything. The next word is what? Urat, naked. Aryan or Uriyan is naked. Ala is the one who needs other people's assistance. Ri'a'a. Ri'a'a is the plural of ra'in. You know, kullukum ra'. Do you understand? So the jamu is what? Ri'a'a. And he said what? Asha'i. The kasri hamd. Ko asha'. It is the plural of sha'. Sheep. Do you understand? Sheep. Not sheep, S-H-I-P. Sheep, S-H-E-E-T. It does not have a plural, S. Sheep, sheep. Ko grammar people. Allahu a'lam. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.